when he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and sat down again and said to them, do you know what I have done to you? He wasn't talking about washing their feet. It was something else, something deeper. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Now, is he telling us all we should stop the service now and have a big foot washing? No, I don't think so. Although that's not bad. Some of his feet need washing. But, see, part of the foot washing back then was a big deal because all the streets were dirt and they had sandals. Okay? They had sandals. They didn't walk on concrete. They didn't have closed-in shoes. Their feet were nasty. We'll get to that in a minute. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, look at what Jesus is saying. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you will reveal yourself. I pray that you will strengthen us. I pray you'll show us. And God, I pray that as we begin this journey together, Lord, that we will see miraculous things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to make a theological statement, and then I'm going to prove it to you, and then we're going to come back to it, okay? The theological statement is this. True discipleship, true lasting discipleship will not happen in your life unless you give away what you have. It don't matter how much you know, how much you study, how talented you are. It don't matter about none of that stuff. I'm not against study. I'm not against knowledge. I like to study. But until you give away what you have been given, you are not a true disciple. And you go, well, what have I been given? I'm glad you asked that. Because I'm going to show you that we've all been given something. But do you understand that we've got to start? I want to talk to you about being servant kings. Over the next few weeks, we're going to dive into that. I just want to kind of make one concept today. I want to try to get you to think differently. Because it depends on what kingdom you are in, that just like how you define servant and king. If you're looking through one kingdom, that's totally different things. That's two separate issues. They're two different ends of the spectrum. But if you're looking through the other kingdom, well, you see they're synonymous. They're synonyms, not antonyms, for all you educated people. I passed English 101. It was 102 that got me. There's a man, let me just give you an example right off the bat. There's a man that's not celebrated in the Bible much. But he had something happen to him that nobody else, it happened to nobody else. Now, the Bible says in Acts chapter 7 through 9, there was a man named Stephen, and he had had an experience with the Lord, and he had some miracles happen. He was a good man. He did what was called to do, but we hardly even talk about him. But yet, he had something happen to him. He was preaching the gospel, telling people, giving away what he had, serving his people, okay? We don't celebrate him. We don't talk about Stephen much. But Stephen was telling people about Jesus. And the Pharisees got to him and said, you better stop that. You better stop that. He was telling them about the kingdom that's coming. He was telling them about the true king. He was stepping outside of the kingdom of this world and stepping into the true king kingdom and telling them about, they said, we're going to kill you. Of which Saul, the apostle Paul, was part of that before he got converted. He was part of this. And he and a bunch of them started stoning Stephen. And when they stoned you, they didn't throw rocks at you like gravel. It was these big stones, and they stoned, they killed him. And before he died, he looked up into heaven and he said, I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the Father. And they kept stoning, made him madder, kept stoning until he died. And he kind of passes away real easily. All right? And so, y'all got to corral that baby. He's wandering off. So, but he says, I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the Father. Do you realize, everybody look at me, that is the only time in Scripture that it says the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the Father. Every other time in Scripture it says that, the Son of Man is sitting at the right hand of the Father. I believe it gives us a little inclination of what God is proud of, what God celebrates. I believe Jesus Christ, he was the first, Stephen was the first martyr for Christianity. He was the first one that sacrificed his life for Christianity. I believe Jesus Christ was standing, giving him a standing ovation. We don't even hardly talk about him, but yet in heaven, he was celebrated by Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a few questions. First of all, what does it mean to be a servant? What does it mean to be a king? Now, when you define those through our fleshly eyes, they're totally opposite. I guess you need to ask another question. What is greatness? You know, through flesh eyes, through eyes that most of us celebrate, you know, it's people that are great athletes, wealthy people. We wait in line to see people that are wealthy, that are leaders, historical figures. We love reading about it. I mean, you know, people that have money, I want to be like the old nutcase of, what's that new car? Tesla. Yeah, I want to be like him. And everybody wants to hear what he's got to say. And he's a millionaire and billionaires, like, you know, all them guys. We celebrate him. We wait in line. We wave at him. Oh, he tells you, we wait in line for the athletes because they can jump. They can do. We celebrate all those things. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. It's impressive what some of them have done. But what impresses God? What is real greatness? You think God yesterday up in heaven went, did you see that catch, Jesus? Wow, I thought he was going to miss it. And he reached up. Man, did you see? Man, that guy, wow. That guy has invented some cool things, hasn't he? Wow, he made a lot of money. See, in the flesh eyes, how you define all of those terms depends on the main question, which kingdom you want to live in, which kingdom you want to be known by, which kingdom you want to seek. That's what the real question is. It's the kingdom, and that's where the dispute comes. That's where the dispute comes in us, inside of us, in Christianity. That's where the rip and the tear is. You know how we know that? It was from the very beginning. It was from the very beginning. The disciples started because they were still looking through the wrong kingdom. Write these scriptures down. We're going to just look at one of them. Matthew 18, 1 through 4. Matthew 20, 20 through 27, Matthew 9, 33 through 37, Luke 9, 46 through 48. It was that age-old dispute. See, it's hard to do. Everybody look at me now. It's hard to do spiritual things if you're thinking and looking in the wrong kingdom. Because you got the kingdom of God and you got the kingdom of this world. And when we intertwine them, that's where the arguments come. That's where the disputes come. Like this one right here. It happened to the disciples over and over again because they were still thinking in the kingdom of God. I want to sit at his right hand. I want to wear the fine clothes. I want to be known. Ooh, I want to be famous. Oh, I want to be rich. I want to be this. All those things that are the kingdom of God, and you try the kingdom of this world, and you try to interject them, and there becomes turmoil. Look at this one. At this time, Jesus came. The disciples say, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little while to the children, a child to him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and becomes a little child, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Let's go look at the 20, the next one. Mama got involved. Mama trying to take care of their boys. Just like mamas got involved in little league sports. Now nobody's a loser. Everybody's a winner. You know, everybody's got to have participation trophies. And that ain't real life. There are losers. You need to teach your kids how to deal with losing. They will lose sometimes. It happens. Anyway, that's another sermon for another day. Mama sneaks behind and is talking to Jesus. Her two sons, "Can I have?" And said, "What do you wish?" She said, "Grant that my two sons may sit one on your right hand and one on your left in your kingdom." Immediately Jesus said, "You don't even know what you're asking," because he recognized she's thinking in the kingdom of this world. You don't even know what you're asking for. She's thinking through the eyes of the kingdom of this world. And he said, "Look, they're going to drink the cup. Do you know what kind of cup I'm about? I'm about to suffer. I'm about to go through all of this. And guess what? They will drink it with me. But only God can decide who's going to be at my right hand and my left." Do you understand? When you think through the wrong kingdom, Christianity gets confusing. When you think through the wrong kingdom, church gets confusing. Life gets confusing. When you are seeking God's kingdom, but yet trying to do it through the world's kingdom, it gets muddled. You don't understand it. You're thinking through the wrong kingdom. Now, you know, let me just ask you this. We think that greatness in this kingdom, greatness is fame and fortune and ability and talent and wealth and all those things. We think that's greatness. How wealthy do you got to be to impress God? His kingdom celebrates differently. Let me give you a great example. Tim Tebow, you know, football player, commentator, does all this stuff. He's trying baseball out. He goes to a minor league. It's a minor league game. But all the news media is there and everything. And he was on the on deck. Hadn't even got a base hit yet. He was on the on deck, and this autistic child is on film on YouTube. I wish my kids had never showed me YouTube. It's a terrible thing. But, you know, the autistic child, his mama, they're sitting up in stands. This autistic kid walks down and gets right next to the net and starts talking. He's got a Tebow shirt on. He starts talking to Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow puts his bat down and he comes over, shakes his hand, talks to him and all that. You know, in the middle of the game, game's going on. And the kid walks back to his mama and everybody's cheering. And the kid walks back to his mama and starts crying like, this is awesome. He starts crying and all that. Tim Tebow steps up and hit a home run. It was his first hit. It was all over the news. I remember all over the news, the sports, ESPN, all of Tim Tebow hit his first home. They showed the home run. The world was celebrating. Look, man, this guy, look at him. You think God gave a rip? The kingdom of God celebrated. Tim Tebow hit a home run. Now, I bet Jesus stood up and clapped that he took time for that autistic kid. See, we've got to begin to understand the kingdom of God celebrates different things than we celebrate. The kingdom of God, when we understand that he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that are added to you. See, when you seek his righteousness, his kingdom first, you judge wins differently. You judge your life differently. You judge who you are differently. There is nothing wrong with being great in this kingdom. There's nothing wrong with having stuff and all that. As long as you understand, it's all passing away. I ain't taking none of it with me. Spend it. I'm not gonna be impressive in heaven by what I collect here. It's all passing away. Keep it in its proper place. I gotta make sure that I am part of greatness that is celebrated in the kingdom of God. Now, that kind of stuff never goes away. It'll be celebrated forever. See, what we don't, we always judge by who recognizes. Do you realize that we celebrate Billy Graham, and rightly so, man, he's a great man. But let me tell you what's going to happen, dude. Don't you understand? When you minister or serve one, everything that person does now goes on to you. It's amazing. Don't you know that all the millions of people that got saved through Billy Graham are going to come up to the guy that we don't even know his name, but heaven celebrates because he was the neighbor next door to Billy Graham that said, look, I'll let you drive my truck if you'll go to church with me. And he reached out to this young, poor kid, and he let him drive his truck. Billy Graham wound up getting saved, and we know the rest of the story. Who in heaven is going to be celebrating? You think they're going to say, yeah, okay, Billy's great, but they're going to celebrate that in heaven they're going to know him by name. We've got to start judging life based on the kingdom of God and put importance what God puts important. We got to celebrate what the kingdom of God celebrates. When we do that, listen to me, when we do that, first of all, we stop being so offended. We stop getting so offended that people didn't recognize it. I'm not doing it for the recognition of people. Serving. It helps. How do we serve well? How do we keep things in perspective? Well, first of all, it helps to know and remember who you are. It helps to remember who you are. I am a king and a priest of the kingdom of heaven. And if you're saved, so are you. Some of you go, I don't feel like one. It makes service pure. when you know, when you're coming from a place of strength. See, when I know this, I'm a king of the kingdom of God. I'm not the king. That place has already been taken. In fact, let me go. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. How about the next one? We are not, this is not our home. Now, we all give lip service. Let me just be offensive just for a second. We all give lip service at funerals to comfort ourselves. Well, you know, this ain't our home. Praise God. We're going to live with the angels in heaven for eternity. And we give lip service to it, but then we turn around and live our lives like this is what's happening all the time. This ain't my home. I'm just passing through. I said it's going to be short now. Y'all ain't with me. This is not my home. Time is flying by. I remember I used to get upset about somebody that scratched my first car. You know where my first car is? It's in the junk pile out there in Nicholson. See, we worrying about stuff that's going to pass away. This ain't my home. I'm a king in another place. You got to keep that in perspective. You got to remember that, or you'll always get confused. You'll always get offended when nobody said thank you. Thank you. Does that make it better? No. Because if you live in it, this is not my home. Look at these verses. What does it say in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Brother Allen, my God, that guy got a raise and I didn't get it. Why are the ugly people, the mean people prospering, and us poor old Christians just struggling by? Don't let your heart be troubled. Why is it seems like everything bad? Why? Don't let your heart be troubled. This is just for a vapor, just an instant. It was just yesterday I was holding my kids. Now I'm holding my grand. I mean, it's just a vapor. It's just whew, whew. But my home is for eternity. My big brother is right now. He's at my father's house. He's prepared our many mansions, and one of them's got Big Al Hickman's name on it, and he's preparing a place for me. It's going to be better, and I'm never going to have to remodel. I won't owe nothing. I won't have to pay nothing. The light will always be on, and everything tastes good, and I won't get fat, no high blood pressure, none of that. This is not my home. See, you got to keep that in perspective or you'll start hoarding stuff. You'll start worrying about a recognition. You'll get your feelings hurt. Preacher didn't tell me thank you when I've been serving you. Ah, you got your kingdoms mixed up. I ain't doing it for this kingdom. See, when you understand I'm an heir. How about this one? I'm a joint heir. Galatians 4, because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer called slaves, but sons. If sons, you are heirs with God through Christ. It says we are joint heirs. Do you understand? If I look at me, this is important that you get this. I can't get any higher than I already am. See, if you're looking at the wrong kingdom, you're offended at that. I'm a strong third. I mean, listen, do you hear what he said? I'm a joint heir with you. I'm in line to the throne of the King of the universe. I can't get any higher because the King of the universe ain't going nowhere and Jesus ain't going nowhere. So this is as far as I'm getting. So I don't ever have to do anything to get something from them. They've already given me everything I need. See, that makes servant, that makes service pure. It makes it pure when I ain't trying to get nothing from you. I'm just doing it because I love the Lord. And that's the family business. Do you understand? I'm a strong third. I don't have to do anything else to get any higher a position than I already am by the blood of Jesus Christ. So now I can just give my life away for the fun of it. I'm not trying to get anything from anybody. I don't need attention in this kingdom. I'm not storing up treasures. Man, listen. All you people that are trying to get the American dream. Now, look, I'm not against money. Please hear that. I tell the Lord all the time, and I say it again publicly, Lord, I am ready for the test of having a bunch of it. I think I'm ready for that test. Let's go for it. I'm not against it, but do you understand? This in my kingdom, you store up a bunch of stuff, you know what's going to happen when you die? They all going to pay off credit cards. Or go to Hawaii on you. Thanks, Dad. All that stuff. I mean, that's... My dad had this lesson down. He knew he wasn't living. This wasn't his kingdom. So he spent it all. He didn't give us nothing. I said, man, I can't even go to Hawaii on my dad. Do you understand what kingdom you're looking through is going to determine greatness and how you serve? Do you understand that I don't have to worry? Put this one up there for me, please. I don't have to worry about me. I don't have to worry about me because I'm already in prime position and it's sealed by the blood of Jesus. Now, we ain't going not a step further. I am already sealed by the blood of Jesus. I can't go a step further higher than I am because I am sealed and I don't have to worry about me. See that right there? Some of you won't do certain. Well, I can't lose my insurance. I can't lose this. I can't do that. I'm for insurance. I'm not against it. I'm for doctors. I'm not against them. I like all of them. Well, no, I don't like doctors because they're always shoving metal things in you. But you know, I use them. I'm not against that. But let me tell you something. Kingdom that I'm living in, I'm seeking after. That ain't my first concern. I want to go where God is calling me to go and do what He's calling me to do. Because I don't have to worry about me. I'm not talking about being stewards. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Why? Because you're a strong third. I can't get any higher than I already am. He's got angels encamped about me. He is doing stuff when I'm asleep. He's protecting me. There's no telling how many angels I've killed on the road. They have protected me and took care of me. God's doing stuff ahead of me that I don't even know. Amen? And you got to believe that. If you're looking through the right kingdom, you can. If you're looking through the kingdom of this world, you're always going to be worried. Which does heaven celebrate? Does heaven celebrate? You know, I know people that if the saints lose, don't talk to them. They're mad. They've spent most of their life mad. All the LSU fans are happy now. You know, which would be celebrated? Let me ask you a question. Nick Saban. I mean, I know you LSU fans don't like, but the greatest coach in college football history. I mean, that, you can't argue with that. You know that, okay, well, he's better than Bear Bryant because he's won more. Do you realize Nick Saban has walked in this church building? I remember one Wednesday night I was driving away, and there was a man walking in the front door, and I went, man, that looked a lot like Nick Saban. What in the heck would Nick Saban be doing here at our youth night? Sure was. We had a kid coming that he was recruiting, and he came to church service. Let me say something. We would all, ooh. But we have a man here this morning that you don't know about. AC, stand up. AC goes all over the world, as a minister, goes all over the world, which you're about to, this church is about to start supporting monthly, your tithes and offerings. He goes all over the world and saves young ladies out of the sex trade. He goes all over the world and saved hundreds, thousands, thousands of kids. But everybody wants to interview Nick Saban. Who is the one that can sing that you can't count on? Are the people that have taught in our children's program, in our nursery, and they're praying over and blessing those children. Who does heaven celebrate more? See, that's what you gotta, you know, that's what you gotta start determining in your life, which kingdom, because the kingdom, each kingdom celebrates a different thing. Each kingdom celebrates something, and that's why God, Jesus said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, be a servant of all. My wife many times has been, you know, life wears you out. Raised 11 kids, and, you know, it'll get tiresome sometimes. Amen? Can I get a witness? Many times she has said, I am so dry. But she has taught in the children's ministry here. She has taught in the children's ministry, and she goes and prays and prepares. She says, I'm so dry, I have nothing to give. Goes that when she gives her life away, all of a sudden God speaks to her. And she walks out of that children's building and go, man, God refreshed. You know what God showed me while I was teaching that children's? Because when you serve and you give your life away and you live by a set of rules of a kingdom that you cannot see but you know is real, when you live by that set of rules, then that kingdom becomes more real than the kingdom you can see. You start making decisions. I mean, if you're tithers and ever had somebody go, what the heck you doing that for? Man, that's dumb. I've had people tell me that. Brother Allen, look at how many kids you got to feed. You're stupid. No. My kingdom says God's going to take care of everything. Just live by His kingdom. Do His thing. And He has. He does. And I don't worry about it. Being a servant king means that I have decided to live by a set of rules. And when I do that, and I live by that set of rules, when I do that, and I want to just drop this thought in now, we're going to pray. When I do that, serving Jesus, serving looks like Christ to the world. When I do it, I'm not trying to get anything from you. I'm not trying to get accolades. I'm not trying to get praises. I don't want to thank you. I'm just doing it because that's the family business. It's what we do. We serve people. Or the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace in the Holy Spirit. Look at the verse 18. That's the one I want to show you. Is that dark to y'all around the sides, or is that just my eyes? Okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't having a fit or something. Boy, look at it. Everybody look at it. So you should see I ain't making this up. For he who serves Christ in these things. What are these things? All the scriptures before, he's talking about doing for others, taking care of others, doing this for others. You serve Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. You want to serve Christ? Serve people. Be a servant to all. You want to walk being blessed? Be a servant. Well, I will when somebody blesses me. You're living by the wrong set of rules, wrong kingdom. When you change, I'll change. Wrong set. Some of you need to serve people by forgiving them and quit talking about them. How about just serving them by letting it go? Some of you, God's waiting for you in the nursery. Well, I don't feel God. Well, God's told you to work in the nursery. God's waiting for you there. When you serve, give your life away. This is how you know it's true service. Matthew 5:16 says this. Let your light so shine before men that they may, look at it, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, my good works are automatically going to bring glory to God. Let me give you a couple of statements. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. We waste our effort and time with things that Jesus doesn't celebrate. What are you teaching your children to celebrate? Do all we do is celebrate athletic competition, accomplishments or whatever? Or when they serve somebody or pray, do we celebrate that? We train them to think in a kingdom of this world and then want them to respond to the kingdom of this of God. And it's this tear. We have people in this church right now that are offended with other Christians because they did not recognize them or they did not. We've had people, we've had events and had people leave this church because we showed a quick video of the event and they weren't on it. I kid you not. They weren't on it and so they left church. You didn't recognize me. That's looking at life through the kingdom of God. I don't want to be recognized here. I want to be celebrated in heaven. If you are not giving your life away, you are not a true disciple. Not my words. Well, what do I got to give away? Well, are you saved? You got salvation. Do you have a story of the grace of God? You have that. You can serve people that need you. One of the things that we're going to do, you know, two things that are going to happen when we build our new building over there. One of the things that's going to happen, we're going to do a daycare for mentally handicapped adults to give the parents a couple hours break. Can't help us, can't do nothing for us, just because it's serving, because it's what Jesus would do. Where are you serving? Every Christian, are you hearing me? Every Christian should be serving somewhere. Not all of you will be life group leaders, but every Christian should be serving somewhere because that means you're following Christ. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Be a servant. And then he turned around and said, I'm the king of this kingdom, and I just washed your feet. Now you go and do the same. Because it's in that miracles happen. Todd, you can come on. I want to share a story with you. I want to end with this. And I've shared it before. If you've been here a long time, you've heard me share this before. But I share it because I saw it with my own eyes. And every time I share it, it stirs me up. Because, listen, everybody look at me. There are miracles. If you will get out of yourself, see, the kingdom of this world is totally self-focused. What's happening with me? What's going on with me? How am I being treated? I'm too tired, Brother Allen. I'm too wore out to serve anybody. You are missing your blessing. That's where energy comes from when you give your life away in the kingdom of God. Life flows back in you. No, I need a vacation. No, you need to give your life away in the kingdom. Years ago, the first big school shooting was in Columbine, which is right outside of Denver. And a lot of you know this story. It so impacted my life that I just couldn't. I never have gotten over it. I really never have, because I saw it with my, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I think it would be different. It'd be just another great story. The girl, Rachel Scott, was a Christian. She was a good, godly teenager who had been taught in her church, serve people, be kind, simple acts of kindness, serve people. She loved God. She was the one the diabol grabbed her hair and said, because she had tried to witness to him, and he rejected it, grabbed her hair and said, you still believe in that God? Yes. Go and meet him. Boom. He shot her. She was the first one killed. Well, the family, I can't imagine. You know, as a parent, you just, I don't understand that. The family would gather at her grave, and they would all bring their little chairs and they'd sit around and they would cry and they would tell stories and they would pray, because they were all Christians, but they were grieving. This is our 15, 16-year-old girl was taken from. They were grieving, and two or three times a week, they would just all gather around as a family and just tell the stories. Remind themselves of the goodness of God, because they were sad. And I saw this with my own eyes. That happened in April. Well, earlier that year, it started being a drought in that part of Colorado. They had had rain a lot. And toward the summer, the authorities said nobody could water grass anymore. Can't water the lawn, can't water the funeral places. Nobody can water that grass. And they were still gathering around her grave. And I saw this. It was green, and the whole rest of the cemetery was brown, and her grave was green as it could be. And they were telling the story. I got a chance to meet him. He was telling, we all thought it was God kind of comforting us. We all thought it was God loving on us. Like, I mean, we could see it. I saw it. I mean, it was brown everywhere else, and her grave was as green as it could be. And we thought it was, every time we would sing praises to God, because God, look at what God is doing. He's letting us know that she's going to live on. They were spiritualizing it. She's going to live on. It's going to be awesome, and she's forever green, evergreen, you know, and all, you know, all these things. They were just basking in the comfort of the Lord. Till one day, they drove up in their van to have their little family time out there, and they caught him. It was this middle-aged, bald-headed, lonely mechanic from Denver. He said he was a heavy-set man, and he was limping a little bit, looked kind of dirty, had a 5-gallon bucket of water, and he was walking, took it out of the back of his truck, and he started watering their grave. And so the family dad walked over to, they were asking, who is that? Do you know him? No, nobody knew him. Nobody knew who this man was. Gosh. And he said the guy was kind of shy and bashful. He was kind of socially awkward. And he said, sir, I got to know, why are you doing this? He had been coming 2 to 3 times a week from Denver with a 5-gallon bucket of water and watering her grave. He said, it was the only thing I knew to do. I didn't know what else to do. He said, why are you doing it? He said, I came through here to pick up a part for a car I was working on back in November of last year. I got a flat tire. I had to pull over. It was one of the last times. It was downpour, raining. He said, and this young girl pulls up behind me, gets out of her car with her golf umbrella, and walks up to me. I'm on the ground changing my tire, and she stands over me and said, I just hate to see anybody do this in the rain. And the guy said, why are you doing this? She said, I just want to tell you God loves you. They never exchanged names. He didn't, because it was still downpouring and they were trying to get it done fast. And he said, thank you. And she got in her car, God bless you, and they left. And he said, I sat in my car crying, because if you knew my life, no one has ever done anything like that for me. My whole life, my parents didn't want me, nothing. No one has ever done anything like that for me. And then months later, I see her picture on the newscast as one who was killed. He said, I didn't know what to do. I never had anybody touch me like that. And her dad led that man to the Lord, standing on her grave. From one servant king act, salvation was entered into the world. I believe, I want you to hear me, with all that is within me, if we'll get our head out of our tail and quit worrying so much about ourselves and our own feelings and just realize, man, my future is taken care of. And just serve, there are miracles waiting to happen. Miraculous things we can't even explain. There are miracles waiting to happen when we become the servant kings and just go, look, I'm already sealed in the blood. I don't need to do anything to earn God's favor, but because I have God's favor, I'm going to find somebody to serve. And miracles begin to happen everywhere by praying for them. That's what we're doing with those cards. You're serving them by praying. Simple, random acts of kindness because we're looking to bless somebody. We're not looking to be blessed because I'm already blessed. God's looking out for me. I don't have to do that. You see the difference? And when we do that, we release a purity that will change the world.